I'm still waiting to hear back from the Minister's office, Frank Sartor, about the allegation that this organisation, Rose Corp, only paid $4.5 million or under $5 million for this parcel of land, which it will now, of course, reap tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars from the 600 lots at Catherine Hill Bay, a beautiful place just south of Swansea, north of Sydney. Now, the Minister has sent me a whole list of undertakings via Zoe Allibone from his office, saying that the plans previously considered by, firstly, the local government, the local council, and then rejected by the Land and Environment Court, are substantially different to what Rose Corp has taken to the Minister for his state significant proposal. But I draw the Minister's attention to some writings I have in front of me, which says the department, being the Department of Planning, concluded that no development, that's N-O, no development occur at Catherine Hill Bay. Now, there are a number of people supplying information in relation to this. I haven't had the chance to talk on air to Brian Cogan before. He's from the Catherine Hill Bay Progress Association, but I need to pick his brain about whether I'm on the right track with all of this. Brian, g'day.
Good morning, Ray.
Thanks for taking time to talk to me. Firstly, I need to confirm this organisation that stands to benefit by a huge amount of money if this development goes through, did they pay for this total parcel of land under $5 million?
Well, the title checks that we did indicated that they paid about $4.25 million for the land, yes.
So it would stand to reason if you paid just $4.25 million for land that can't be used, that if you can give 360 hectares to the government and keep 60 hectares, that you're going to make a hell of a lot of money out of that 60 hectares.
Well, we estimate that probably there's at least $500 million involved in that.
$500 million.
Mm.
$500 million.
Mm.
Now, Frank Sartor said to me on air, and has again echoed that this morning via his media representative, that the proposal that was first put by this organisation, Rose Corp, to the local council, and then rejected twice, as I understand it, by the Land and Environment Court, bears little resemblance to what he's looking at now.
Well, the question to be decided was whether there should be any development there at all, and the council decided that what they were proposing was not consistent with the zonings and was against the public interest.
It's zoned for what?
Well, it's zoned for a variety of conservation and scenic protection purposes.
Now, the government has spent, am I right in saying, $5 million, is spending $5 million?
No, it's not the government that's spending it. They required a security deposit from the mining company that once mined the land.
Okay, that'd be Coal and Allied, wouldn't it?
Well, these days it's actually a company called Lake Coal, which is a subsidiary of Excel.
Okay. So the government, they're supervising the $5 million rehabilitation plan.
Yeah, and that rehabilitation plan is to take the whole area back to a natural bushland state suitable for public open space. And the coal company, the previous coal company that owned the land, agreed to that in an undertaking to government in 1987.
Way back in 87.
Mm.
And since then, I guess there have been a succession of developers wishing to develop this rather unique part of the coast.
Well, I'm not aware of that. All I know is the former chief executive of one of the coal companies said that he made inquiries about developing it and was sent away by the government. He was told not to waste his time.
And that was a long time ago, obviously.
Yeah.
We're talking about the 1980s.
About in the last decade.
So this organisation, Rose Corp, come to the table in about 2002 with about $4.25 million, and they buy this big parcel of land. They take a punt. It's a bit like going to Rose Hill Races or Randwick Races.
Yeah, yeah.
They speculate for, in their terms, a pretty minuscule amount of money in the dollars they deal in.
Sure.
$4.25 million, and they say, look, we'll buy this part on the punt that we can get it changed, get the planning authority to change what we can do with it.
Yeah, all developers try to stay three or four projects ahead of where they're up to now. And to do that, they've got to buy land, and it's essentially speculative. And they've bought land for a very cheap price that they think they can make a lot of money out of. No wonder they're working hard to make sure they do.
And whoever the vendor was back then in 2002 obviously thought, well, good, geez, I've made a bit of a killing here. They're no hope of getting this through.
Well, in my view, the vendor being the coal company, it was part of a larger, much larger operation when that happened. And it was just a small mine that was reaching the end of its life, so they didn't care much what they got for it, obviously, because we understand the zoning. The valuation that they had put on it, commercial valuation, was closer to $15 million.
Mm. Are they playing any role in this development at all?
Well, the company that bought the coal lease, its shareholders are partners with Rose Corp in the development.
But the department, and that's the Department of Planning, concluded that no development should occur at Katherine Hill Bay, so it's superfluous of the minister to say, oh, look, what the Land and Environment Court and the local council looked at has nothing to do with what I'm looking at, because his own department said there should be no NO development.
The minister has the power these days to ignore his department completely, and that's what he's done on this matter.
You copped the mention yesterday in that he said that you were reasonable and he'd spoken to you, and he gave some sort of indication that you came away from a meeting with him happy. Is that right or not?
Well, I think I'm very reasonable, but I was overseas.
We all think that, Brian.
I was overseas when the minister rang me, and I'd written to him and explained our concerns about the area.
Sure.
He said to me that he'd read the letter and he agreed with everything in it. In fact, he didn't like developers and the like. But
he tells me that all the time, but he seems to certainly accede to their requests more regularly than not.
Anyway, while he agreed with everything I'd said to him, he said he wasn't going to do any of that. He had another agenda. And then he told me that there would be quite extensive residential development there. We didn't get down to hard numbers.
Yeah.
But that was my first warning of it, and as I say, I was overseas at the time.
You see, what I don't understand is the minister's an intelligent man. They buy it for 4.25. He kept saying yesterday in my interview with him, oh, but look, they're giving us all this land back, over 300 hectares, to go to National Park. But they wouldn't be doing that if, in fact, the 60 hectares wasn't worth, as you've indicated, $500 million for 4.25 investment.
Yeah, well, it's trickier than that, too, because all up and down the coast, there are sites that are zoned for coastal acquisition by the state government. These were sites identified by the Rand government and later governments as something that should be in the public's possession.
Yep.
They're in private hands. And if a private owner requires the government to buy it, then the government must buy it. And that's the leverage that developers have on this government, that they can put a price on it and say to the government, well, we want you to pay this, and government doesn't want to do it, obviously. And in this case, the leverage could be as high as, well, I don't know, $24, $25 million.
Well, still not a bad make on the 4.25 from 5 years ago.
Well, it's not a bad make if you pay 4.25 for it and you expect the government to pay 20. I mean, that's...
Okay. Because I spent some of my youth at Katherine Hill Bay...
Well, you'd be a different man for the experience, I would say.
I most assuredly. the Ham family, who I'm related to by marriage, had the cottage on the left-hand side.
Yeah, I know the Ham.
Okay. Well, when you come into town, you've got, I think, the little pub on your right-hand side.
Yes.
And then those houses along your right-hand side. And basically, the only other thing was the mine on the... at the top of the hill.
Yeah.
Where are we talking about the 600 residents going?
On that hill, behind that hill, to the south of that hill. So it's a former mine site, but as I say, it's a mine site that's currently being fully rehabilitated. There are thousands of houses on there, thousands of trees on that site that have been planted.
So the former owner has spent $5 million of its money at the instructions of the government to rehabilitate it. Now the government's going to rip it all down and build houses there.
Well, they're going to ensure that the developer can tear up all the trees that have been made in development. Yeah.
It's an opportune time to talk about it. There's an election not too far away. I know that Katherine Hill Bay wouldn't normally be front page news, but when one minister with the stroke of a pen can do this in the face of the local community, the local government, the Land and Environment Court, he's a brave man.
Well, I think they've done a very silly thing. I think they thought they could just treat us like a mob of yokels and walk around us or walk over us, but I think we're demonstrating that it's a lot tougher town than that.
All right. How many residents currently in Katherine Hill Bay?
About 200. About 100 houses all up.
Yeah. And for all intents and purposes, it hasn't changed much since the turn of last century.
Well, its physical shape hasn't changed. I mean, that's the whole point of its heritage significance. It looks pretty much like it did in the 1890s, early 1900s, and that's a large part of what's so important about it in Australia's mining and urban history.
Are there constraints on residents there at the moment if they wanted to renovate their cottage?
On us, we help negotiate those guidelines as a community, and we're comfortable with them. But in our case, where a height might be a little one-storey cottage that's permitted here, the Rose Corp proposals are for 9.5 metres, which is, you know, it's 2.5 times as high for one thing, bigger. It's just laughable.
And they say one of the benefits is they'll bring you a shop and bring you a bowling club.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
Just what you need.
Yeah, just what we need.
You move there to get away from all that, I suspect.
It's not just that. I mean, people want facilities. There's no doubt about it. And we're not totally opposed to development. We think the place can do it a bit more. But what's being proposed is overdevelopment. But the worst thing about it, Ray, is the point that you've made, is that a government is more interested in sucking up to developers than it is in winning favour.
Despite the minister telling you and me privately that he has no time for developers.
Yeah. They're odd times, aren't they?
Funny way of showing it. I have a feeling you and I will be talking plenty of time between now and March 24.
I'd be pleased to do that.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Ray.
That's Brian Cogan from the Catherine Hill Bay Progress Association. Now, Frank Sartor, what you're doing up there is absolutely disgraceful. The rhetoric and calling me names and all the rest of it as you did yesterday, trying to, you know, deviate from the path. I hope you're listening, by the way, John. It won't hold any store here. You need to act responsibly in Catherine Hill Bay's case. You've just heard Mr. Cogan from the Catherine Hill Bay Progress Association say, yeah, a bit of development probably handy up here. 600 houses to an organisation like Rose Corp who bought the land in 2002 for $4.25 million. It's like going to the races next Saturday hoping to back a 100-to-1 winner. And the only thing is, Frank Sartor is the judge, the starter, the chief steward, and the bookmaker. You can't lose.
Ray Hadley.
Bob Graham, Mayor of Wyong Shire.
Good morning, Ray. How are you going?
Good, mate. I think we're going to talk about Gwendolyn, are we?
Yeah, and Uncle Frank.
Cranky Frank is his name these days.
Yeah, sure is.
Just explain to me, I had a caller. We've been talking about Catherine Hill Bay, which is not in your local government area.
Well, yes, it is.
Part of it is.
Yeah, part of it.
So it borders Lake Macquarie and you, does it?
Yeah, what happened is... they wanted to develop Catherine Hill Bay and Lake Macquarie. They went for a DA to Lake Macquarie first.
Yeah.
Lake Macquarie knocked them back. And so they went to Land Environment Court. The Land Environment Court knocked them back. So we just sat in the sideline waiting for a DA for us.
Right.
And then Mr. Sartor called it in. Well, what we've been going through with Wyong is to move our boundary south, not to pass the buck to Lake Macquarie, but to... be able to have the whole of Catherine Hill Bay in the Lake Macquarie local government area to help the people of Catherine Hill Bay.
Right, I see.
But see, also, in the same call-up, Frank put in Gwendolyn, which, as your caller earlier said, is 10 kilometres away, nothing to do with Catherine Hill Bay.
And is Jim on the right track? He's saying that the total development there would not be state significant, so Frankie's allowed them to pull it in, so that it's part of a much bigger exercise and therefore becomes state significant.
Spot on. Jim is spot on.
So that's 100% right.
Yep.
It's just a rort.
It certainly is. And that's what we're trying to say. What's the correlation between Gwendolyn and Catherine Hill Bay? I mean, they're just 10 kilometres from away from each other and absolutely nothing there. We've been looking after the people of Gwendolyn, Summerland Point area, and we've promised them that we won't even look at it until 2011 because it's just too premature to do anything with it.
But, and how many acres are we talking about, the old site?
I forget off the top of my head, but it's quite sizable, as Jim said.
Yeah, so it's a large site, and the 300 homes is spot on in reference to what they're looking for.
Exactly.
That's for stage one.
Yeah, that's right. And then
I've got a mate that lives at Summerland Point, and I've been there a couple of times. It's a skinny little narrow road on the way in. Is that the road I take to get to Gwendolyn as well?
That's it, yeah.
Well, who's going to put new roads in? Who's going to fix all that up?
Guess who? Guess who?
The ratepayers, I suspect.
Well, that's right. We'd have to hit the developers for the Section 94 contributions to pay for it all. That's fair enough. But the thing is, the facilities aren't there at the moment either. You know, there's the doctors and the shopping centres and everything else that the people with 300 homes would need.
How many homes currently, and I don't hold you to this, just a guesstimate, in Gwendolyn Summerland Point? I mean, I was there a couple of years ago. I don't think there's hundreds, is there?
There wouldn't be any more than what you saw a couple of years ago. It's a very sleepy little town, but it's beautiful, beautiful little area on the edge of Lake Macquarie.
So they'd be talking about doubling it in size, or maybe...
Exactly. Oh, at the end of it, probably tripling it or more.
Tripling it or more.
Yeah.
And so, you see, this is the best investigators our listeners. So Jim, he obviously has an interest in this all up there, but he's right in saying that Rose Corp would have to go to Wyong Shire Council to get this put through.
That's right.
But by bunging it in with the other one, it becomes state significant.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's out of your hands.
Yeah, well, they did come to Wyong Shire Council and we knocked them back.
Oh, so you've already said no.
We've already knocked them back. And that's what I'm saying. We knocked them back.
So Cranky Frankie's let them come in the back door.
Exactly.
He's left it ajar with the lock undone.
That's right. The same as he did with Catherine Hill Bay. It's we knocked them back and told them, come back in 2011. We'll have another look at it then. But it's the same with the Warner Vale District Centre. We, as a unanimously 10 councillors, voted to put the district centre on the centre of the hill site, which we went out to the people and to get their opinion on as well.
Yeah.
But Frank had a meeting with Woolworths, who owned the top of the hill, and next thing, lo and behold, it's been called in, taken off us, and it's going on the top of the hill against the wishes of 100% of the council on Warwickshire Council.
Where's this at? Warner Vale?
Warner Vale District Centre, yeah. Near the new Warner Vale Railway Station that's mooted for there.
So, and what's this going to end up being once they build it?
Well, it'll be a district centre. They're moving the, putting a railway station there, and there'll be a district centre with shopping centre and swimming pool and facilities.
So Frank Sartor has overridden the wishes of the local government. The people who've lived there all their lives, representing their constituents, would know more about it, but would they've lived there. He's never been there.
No, they're completely overruled. We, as I say, 10 councils on Warwickshire Council and unanimously voted for the position that we chose on the centre of the hill.
Mm.
But because that wasn't to his liking, he's called it in. And, I mean, if he had let it go, we voted that last June last year. Things would have been proceeding, but absolutely nothing has happened there really since June last year.
All right, so I don't know what we do about Gwendolyn. There's no right of appeal to you because it's state significant.
No good appealing to us. We're fighting with the people. We're supporting Jim and his friends in Gwendolyn 100%.
All right. Okay. Now, with these boundary changes, when do they take effect so that you no longer have any control over any part of Catherine Hill Bay?
Well, we're voting again on tomorrow night about that to move the boundaries, and Frank's very keen on that. He's already said that he would work to help us fast-track that. So
why is he so keen?
Because he'd only have to deal with one local government area then.
He hasn't got to deal with you and the other mob as well, but you're doing it because you want Lake Macquarie to have total power in the area.
Sure, and it's only right too. I mean, the thing is, Lake Macquarie people haven't got water restrictions. We have, and so through one side of the road to be able to water their gardens and wash their cars, the people on the other side wouldn't, and it's just a hell of a mess if there was two government areas split down the middle of Catherine Hill Bay.
All right, okay, but you support Lake Macquarie Council in rejecting what Rose Corp are trying to do there as you do at Gwendolyn?
Yeah, 100%.
All right, Bob.
Yeah.
More power to you. I don't know. I don't know why you blokes and women offer yourselves for local government election. It would appear that your wishes are not acceded to in any form anymore.
Glutton for punishment, I think. Put ads in too many scrums in the past.
Good on you, Bobby. I'll see you later.
Okay, right. See you, mate.